it's again a kind of a flexible slot. So if there's a particular topic, or sometimes people, you know, have an issue that they want discussed, we can do that as well. For this week, we'll discuss something in the Parsha. We just read Parshas Noach, and obviously Parshas Noach is paradigmatic in every way. It's the refashioning of the world, literally, the world but, having been destroyed and reformed. And obviously everything that takes place in those very few beginning moments, just as the original Bereishis is paradigmatic, everything that takes place is a model and represents a certain kind of ideal, a meld between idealism and practicality in the world. So too, the first moments of the new world, of the world of Noach, are obviously of crucial significance as well, and therefore, while we magnify, the significance of every word in the Torah and every event, in any case, there should be an additional, I guess, microscopic evaluation of what takes place at a moment or critical junctures in history. And certainly, the minute that Noach steps off the Teva, or the way that he steps off the Teva, and what happens immediately after that is one such critical juncture. So the Torah tells us several things. Vaydaber Elokim al Noach lemar. This is after it's become clear that Yavsha Haaretz, that the mabul is over. So the Ribbono Shel Olam addresses himself to Noach and he says, Tzei min ha-teva, ata v'ishtecha u'banecha u'neshei v'anecha itach. First thing he tells him is that it's time to leave the teva. That sounds like something obvious, but obviously it was something that was very traumatic. If you see the whole world being destroyed, and you're the sole survivors, the idea that you should re-enter and rebuild that civilization is an extremely scary prospect. So, number one, there's need for a tzivui and a matir, perhaps as well. Both a chiyuv and a matir of tzei min ha-teva, to go back into the world. Here, as Rashi notes right away, quoting the Medrash, when Noach is told to go into the teva, he's told to go in according to the configuration ata uvanecha, right, ishtecha uneshei vanecha. And here, when the matir and the chiyuv to rebuild society is given, so it's ata v'ishtecha uvanecha. Which Rashi, quoting the Medrash, understands to mean that there'll be a resumption of marital relationships. Ish v'ishto kan hitilehem tashmish hamita. In other words, the world is going to be repopulated. We're going to be resuming some of the original function and original purpose of the world. So that already is an important diuk right off. Then we're told the animals are supposed to come off with you, and they're supposed to repopulate. Uparu v'ravu al ha'aretz. Interestingly, in the next pasuk, when Noach responds to the tzivui, it's vayetze Noach uvanav v'ishto neshe banav ito. Instead of accepting the heter of Piri v'Rivya and the resumption of life as it was previously, as a foundation to rebuild, instead Noach leaves the teva. But once again, it's Noach ubanav v'ishto neshe banav ito, in segregated fashion. Most of the Mefarshim al Atar ignore this. The Radak on the spot does take note of it and mentions that, in his opinion, this had to do with the impetus of the Nashim themselves. Nashim were even more hesitant to rebuild the world than the men were. And consequently, they were more hesitant. Mashi freedom besipur yitzias zacharim anakevos after shanakevos yoru lotzes achi yetsu tchila hazacharim kadayin pachar amabul alehem vehin rakos levav yosar mehazacharim. So either it had to do with fear, physical fear, or it had to do, right, another way to say this would be, again, that they're more hesitant, more reticent about rebuilding the world after seeing the kind of destruction that could be meted out. Even more so than the men. The Medrash Rabbah, on the other hand, does elaborate on this and discusses it in the following terms. Again, the Chizkuni actually quotes part of the Medrash. There are 2 days in the Medrash whether this was a good thing or a bad thing. Okay, one view is that they didn't respond properly to Tzivui Hashem. And as such, this was a chet, and it had to, you know, it led to the ultimate consequence of the story of the Sirus of Noach, and so on. Or, maybe the dominant view of the Medrash, that this was to the credit of Noach and his wife and his children and their wives, and that is that they were not yet ready to resume all of the physical aspects of life, having had the concern probably that too much physicality, too much of a focus on matter as opposed to form, on chomer as opposed to tzura, brought the world to the state of crisis and catastrophe to begin with. So that they were being more machmir, if you will, and focusing, let's say, more on spiritual aspects than on the physical aspects. But either way, the tzivui and the response already set a certain interesting tone about the question of how eager Noach and the survivors were about resuming the world and on what basis. Then when we continue with the psukim, it gets even more interesting. After everybody leaves the teva, the first thing that we're told is Vayiven Noach Mizbeach LaHashem, Vayikach Mikol HaBehema HaTahora, Mikol HaOf HaTahar, Vayal Olos BaMizbeach. This is the first time in all of Torah Shebitzav that we encounter the word Mizbeach and the Korban Ola. Is Noach commanded to bring, to build a Mizbeach and to bring an Ola? Not explicitly in Torah Shebichsav. Many of the Mefarshim suggest that he understood this implicitly based on the number of, you know, Behemos, Tahoros that were supposed to be on the Teva, that he understood that this was for the sake of Korban. It was, let's say, his halachic instinct rather than an explicit Tzivui that is responsible for him taking this action. Either way, the idea of the Mizbeach and the Ola come into play for the first time in history right here. Moreover, some of the Mefarshim ask the question, well, Noach was a Ben Noach, or he was the Av Noach, but the paradigm for the Ben Noach. And the Ben Noach doesn't really require a Mizbeach, right? He can sacrifice on a Matzeva. And for that matter, it's not necessarily true that he requires Behema Tahora, that a Tziv, in particular, is medayik that Noach Dafka used animals which were proper for a real korban, not just for a korban of a ben Noach. They had to be tmimim, not balimumim. They had to be shleimim, not mechusrei ever, etc. As if, again, in this single action of building a mizbeach and being makriv korbanos, but according to standards that go beyond the normal requirements of a ben Noach, it was something very important, symbolic, that was taking place. And then, even more quixotically, the Torah continues and says, "Vayorach Hashem es reach anichoach." The Rabbanu Shalom, you know, whatever it means, but symbolically, he smelled, he, you know, inhaled the reach anichoach of this korban. And "Vayomer Hashem el libo," right? And here, all the Mefarshim explain that means he didn't initially, at least, share it with Noach. There's a debate among the Mefarshim. He didn't share it with Noach right away, but ultimately he shared it with Noach, maybe even a few psukim later. That's the view of the Ibn Ezra and most of the Mefarshim. The Ramban says this particular insight and this particular decision was you know, something that Ribbono Shel Olam kept to himself until the time of Moshe Rabbeinu in the context of Maimed Har Sinai. That's the view of the Ramban. Lo gila hadavar lenavi bezmanahu, rak biyom tzavoso es Moshe b'ksivas haTorah gila elav. Ki kasher hikriv Noach karbano ala l'ratzon, v'gaza shel Yosef l'hakas es kolchai. But this information is somehow connected to Matan Torah, not to Noach and that period of time. Either way, v'yorach Hashem es reach anichoach, v'yomer Hashem aliba lo osef lo sif rather lekalel odes ha'adama bavur ha'adam. And then, of course, the strangest part of all, ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra mina'urav v'lo osifod l'hakosas kol chai asher osisi. So, of course, this is the most difficult piece of all, the three or four that we're zeroing in on. One would have thought, as the Mefarshim put it, ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra mina'urav would not be a reason that would militate against another ma'abul, and it wouldn't be consistent with vayarach Hashem es reach anicholach. But on the contrary, this would be the counterpoint, right? On the one hand, vayarach es reach anicholach, vayomer Hashem alibal lo osef lekalel odes ha'adam bavur ha'adam. You know, af al pi, maybe, that yetzer ha'adam ra mina'ura, but not ki. Unless you say that the ki here means that, right? And it's af al pi, which is a minority view in the Mefarshim. Most Mefarshim understand ki, that somehow this factor of yetzer lev ha'adam ra mina'urav contributes to this constructive decision not to destroy the world. And then, finally, the end of the parsha, od kol yimei ha'aretz, zera v'katzir, v'kor v'chom, v'kayitz v'chorev, v'yom v'layla lo yishbos. What does all of that have to do, what does it mean, number one, and what does all of that have to do with this new beginning of Noach? So the question of ki yetzer lev ha'adam rav mina'urav, right, that's also becomes a focal point for a very basic question of philosophy and hashkafa, right? How really do we view man and his tendency, right, to give in to his appetites, to his ego? Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra mina'ura. Of course, this needs to be looked at in conjunction with the factor that instigated the mabul to begin with, the last psukim in Parshas Bereishis, Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'as ha'adam ba'aretz, v'kol yetzer machshivos libo rak ra kol hayom. There the focus is on rak ra kol hayom, all is evil, or that's what it's become. Kol yetzer machshivos libo, even machshivos libo. And that, of course, is vayinochem Hashem ki asas ha'adam ba'aretz, vayis'atzev libo. So the question, of course, is obvious. If here man's, yetzer, his tendency towards ego and appetite is responsible for the destruction of the world, so why after the mabul, seemingly the very same conclusion about the nature of man leads to the opposite response, a guarantee that there never will be a future destruction of the world. These are, of course, very, very difficult psukim. Rav Shamsher Rafal Hirsch has a very innovative reading of this idea of Bavur ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra mina'urav. He argues that everybody read this pasuk wrong. Instead of this being an indictment of deleterious indictment of the nature or character of man, says Rav Hirsch, it actually means exactly the opposite. In fact, he argues, when man is born, he's usually pure of motivation. And while it's true that it takes a great deal of time for him to develop maturity, and along the way there's a certain element of, independence and rebelliousness and, a tendency to, discard authority, which may Lemaisa bring him to Chet, but nonetheless, in terms of his tmimus libo, his sincerity, his idealism, man is born as an ideal creature. In fact, and he makes the argument, if anything, it's when one doesn't assimilate his experiences properly and he becomes jaded and more cynical later on, that's when yetzer lev ha'adam is ra. So Rav Hirsch suggests that the way the pasuk should be read, and this is definitely a contortion of the pasuk, but then just simply more of a reflection of his conviction that it is objectively so, is that what the pasuk means to say is that even in the anomalous circumstance when when, you know, unusually, anomalously, Yetzer Lev HaDam will even be Ra Min Urav, even then, right, the determination has been made not to destroy the world. And certainly, since man by his nature is idealistic, and again, while a little bit headstrong, and as we said, you know, likely to blunder into chet for reasons of ego as he's asserting his independence and trying to, you know, engage in self-discovery, that certainly is a reason, you know, which militates against the destruction of the world. That's Rav Hirsch's suggestion. The truth is, once you're going in that direction, he might have taken it a little bit of a step further and interpreted the pasuk as follows. He himself says, this initial tendency that man has, you know, as a youth, before he matures, before he develops full perspective, this tendency that he has to shirk authority and to, you know, pursue different alternatives, he says in the end, that's a good thing, because ultimately it leads one to an independent avodas Hashem, one which is an act of volition, and one which reflects his true freedom and idealism. So one might have even taken a step further, according to Rav Hirsch, and explained that ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min urav, right, doesn't mean that he's inherently, you know, plagued by yetzer hara, but it means that, you know, this headstrong, stubborn, independent streak that he has, which is actually something which ultimately contributes to a more significant avodas Hashem, this is something which the Rabbanu Shalom appreciated, and based on which he said, "Lo osif lekalel odas haadama bavur haadam." Again, that in contrast to the psukim in the end of Bereishis, which talk about the reality of, you know, not youthful errors, and, you know, something that ultimately is constructive, that sense of independence and freedom, but kind of cynical rak ra kolayom. Again, the later manifestation of Yetzer Hara. But that's not how Rav Hirsch interprets. Just in light of the way that he interprets and his perspective, there might have been a better way to read the psukim. The Ramban, the Sfarnu, the Chizkuni, almost all the Mefarshim do not read it either of these ways. And for them, it's a serious problem. They ask the question themselves. Why does Yetzer Lev HaAdam Ra Min Urav, how does that contribute rather than prevent the conclusion of Lo Osif Lekalel Od Asadama Babur HaAdam? The Ramban himself says that it's in the sense of being Melamed Zchus. Ramban says, listen, number one, it's the emphasis should be on Ki Yetzer Lev HaAdam Ra Min Urav. And it really isn't Min Urav, it's Bin Urav. But once a person attains wisdom, exactly opposite of what Rav Shantram Fall Hirsch says, although they're not mutually exclusive, obviously, but in terms of the direction, it's, you know, youthful man who can't control his appetites and is a victim of his Yetzer Hara. But, you know, give man time to reflect and to experience and to attain perspective, and then he's a noble creature and an admirable creature. So what the Rabbanu Shalom was saying was, I'm not going to consign the world to oblivion because, you know, I can't wait till man matures. I'm taking the bigger picture here. The bigger picture is that it's only Ra Min Urav or Bin Urav, but not later on. Moreover, the Ramban implies that there's an element of Anus here. Yeah.
Does that imply that initially God was like going back on the community and he was too quick to punish?
So that's a very good question. Meaning what changed between, you know, the beginning and the end. Right. So I think what you also have to say is that the conditions that existed in the new world, which probably, again, I don't know if I'm going to finish this now, but Od kol yemei eretz zera kotzir kor v'chom kayetz choref yom v'layel lo yishbosu, that somehow this new environment, right, is going to be conducive to, you know, a more patient, you know, perspective on this issue. Whereas the, you know, physical and intellectual and spiritual climate of pre-Mabel, right, did not allow for or justify such a waiting period. Now, what is it about what happens later on? So many of the Mefarshim suggest, the Sfarnu and the Netziv, and many of the Mefarshim suggest that, you know, what became an important fabric, part of the fabric of creation, was the idea of man's input. And the difficulties imposed upon him. Again, some of them say it in the sense of, you know, shiamum, like the Gemara says in Ksuvus, you know, boredom, too much time on one's hands, idleness, you know, is something that promotes the Yetzer Hara. And if you keep man busy in a constructive way, so, you know, that's a whole different environment, spiritual environment, because of the different physical environment. And as such, it will preclude some of these consequences. That's how some of them interpret. I would suggest a little bit different interpretation in just 1 minute. My time is running out. Let me just say the basic idea I want to express, and then maybe another time we'll pursue it more. But I think your question's in place, and that's the answer, but I just want to adjust what we mean by it for a minute. Either way, that's Ramban's response. He also has an allusion to the idea that, after all, man is a kind of an onus, and he's lev minu'urav, therefore you have to assess him somewhat differently. The Sfarno says, well, in the deterioration of the physical and spiritual power of man in the aftermath of the Mabul, right? So that's what's changed in the other direction. In other words, previously man had the capacity to overcome his passions and his inclinations. But now, in the post-Mabul era, with all of this coats the other way, Zera, Vekotze, Vekor, Vekom, Vekayitz, Vekorif, etc., man is a kind of an onus, and therefore he can't be fully punished in the same way. There's a question? Okay, good. That's the way the Sfarno interprets. That's the way many of them interpret. What I would suggest, however, is a slightly different perspective, which assimilates some of these, but is really a different idea. And that is as follows. It goes back, I think, to that first charge and the response, according to the, I think, more dominant view of the Medrash, of how Adam and Chava and children departed from the Teva, and it continues with the first instinctive act of Noach. And that is as follows. Again, what brought the world to the point of the Mabul, as we read in the end of Bereishis, was unfettered Yetzer Hara. Rak Ra Kol Hayom, and one which is based on, you know, the nature of man as it developed. Man's ego, in particular, his selfishness, his focus on the physical. Again, when we read of the causes of the Mabul, right, all has to do, according to Chazal's understanding, the explicit Chamas, and, of course, again, Gilui Arayos and Avodah Zarah, all having to do with man's passions, and especially his selfishness and his ego. When it came time to leave the Teva and to start the new world, so there are two initiatives of Noach. The first one is, even though he's given a heter to resume marital relations, it's still Vayetze Noach Ubanav V'ishto Neshevanav Ito. He wanted to make doubly certain that the conditions that created the Mabul, right, were not going to repeat themselves. And he wanted to understand more clearly what the conditions for physical life are going to be. That was his own initiative. This is expressed in his other initiative, which is Vayiven Noach Mizbeach Lashem. And not only that, Vayikach Mikol Behema Tahora Mikol Ofa Tahar Vayal Olas Ola B'Mizbeach. He chose to create a Mizbeach, not a Matzeva, and to bring a korban, and not just the kain and hevel korbanos of mincha, but an ola, kalil Hashem, kulal Hashem, and not simply according to the lower relative standards of a ben Noach, but according to the higher standards of Klal Yisrael in the makom of the mikdash himself. There are even those mefarshim who suggest that vayiven Noach mizbeach Hashem refers to the mizbeach in the Makom HaMikdash. This initiative, that the first act, an instinctive, because it isn't mitzvah, to be a mitzvah, is Noach's way of reconnecting to the original purpose of creation. Again, the Medrash says that, you know, when Adam is put B'Gan Eden La'avda or L'shamra, so all the Mefarshim ask the question, what is La'avda or L'shamra? After all, Gan Eden was a perfect habitat, one in which, you know, which is idyllic in every way. The Ramban himself says everything grew on its own. What was the La'avda or L'shamra? So the Ramban, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Ches, quotes the Chazal that this La'avda or L'shamra is a reference to Karbanos. Somehow, Karbanos, even in that idyllic world, would reflect man's focus on the Rabbonu Shel Olam. It was a way of defeating his egoism and his selfishness and his focus on physical life, even that physical life which was permitted to him. So in a way, Noach made the decision to restart the world on the basis of that idea of La'avda L'shamra with a korban ola on a mizbeach kalil Hashem. And not only that, but in such a way that vayarach Hashem esreach hanichoach. Again, the Gemara in Zvachim, Mem Cheson Beis, tells us that one of the principal ingredients of a proper korban, especially of a chatas as it happens, is that it be l'shma, but also to be l'shem reach u'l'shem nichoach. This expression, reach nichoach, of course, appears here for the first time. Noach brought the paradigm of what ultimately would be an ideal korban. In doing this, Noach showed that man's yetzer, as strong as it is something that can be overcome and that can be channeled. In that sense, Vayomer Hashem Elibo Lo Osif Lekalel Odes Adama Bavur Hadam Ki Yetzer Lev Hadam Ram Neurav. Precisely because the yetzer is such a formidable force in life, it's particularly impressive that Noach was able to hold back on the heter of Ish L'Isha. Moreover, that his first thought in entering the world and rebuilding the world could be Vayiven Esamizbeach, and not just any korban, but the korban that is Kalil Hashem, in which man has no part whatsoever. So that the Vayarach, Esreach HaNichoach, appreciating the significance of this particular korban and what it meant about the intention to re-establish a different foundation for the world, is something which is doubly important, is doubly significant, in light of the fact that the Yetzer HaAdam is such a formidable force to be overcome. If such a formidable force can be channeled, L'tova, then that is consistent with the original purpose of creation itself. After all, Chazal tell us, Vayitzer b'beis yitzarim, v'hinei tov ma'od ze yitzar hara, il mala yitzar hara, lo hava adam bo nebayis, v'lo haya nose isha, v'lo haya molid, v'lo haya nose v'nosein, etc. Meaning, Noach demonstrated at that crucial tone-setting moment of the new world that this new order could be based on the original design of La'avda or L'shamra, and that the Yetzer Hara is something that not only could be overcome, but moreover, in light of that, overcoming it becomes, more impressive and also demonstrates a potential to take a negative force, to transform it and to channel it into good. And if that's the case, then it works very well with the continuing psukim. Od kol yemei ha'aretz, zera v'katzir v'kar v'chom v'kayetz v'chorev v'yom v'layla lo yishbosu. But again, not just like the Sfarnu says, everything is on a different level, and therefore man's ability to overcome is more of an onus, but on the contrary, that the world, which previously was very easy to navigate, was now going to be given to man in a manner which would challenge his ability to transform his physical character and physical labor and everything that goes into it into a davar shebikdusha, into the context of tzivui. And that's why it's followed immediately by Vayvarech Elokim es Noach v'es banav Vayomer lahem pru urvu umilu es haaretz. In the context of Vayarach es reach hanichoach and putting the role of the Yetzer HaAdam, Ra min Urav, in proper context, so together with setting up the challenge, the newly formulated La'avda L'Shamra challenge for Klal Yisrael, for the world, in context of that, the Ribbono Shel Olam reiterates the heter of Pirya Verivya as well. So that in this very moment when Noach begins the world, he does so in such a fashion as to guarantee that there'll never be a Churban, because he shows the potential of man to overcome the obstacles which created the Churban to begin with, the Mabel to begin with, and therefore it just merely becomes a question not of starting all over again, but of tapping into those resources and those ideals. Unfortunately, the story of Noach is that he was, as I've said in the past, a great survivor, and he was able instinctively, you know, through the building of the Mizbeach and the bringing of the Korban and the hesitation of Tashmish Amita until the right time, he was able to establish what man's potential was and to set the tone of what the world could have been. At the same time, he was unable to build a world. He didn't have that capacity of consistency, of following through, of idealism, right, to actually establish not only what the tone should be, but to establish the precedent and to begin the process. And in that sense, the first thing that we know about Noach is the fact that he, you know, is Noteya, the Geffen, and everything else that happens, which establishes the flaws in Noach's personality. But having said that, Noach's contribution, in addition to survival, is to establish a certain new order and an idealistic foundation, at least, for the building of a new world. In that context, he himself is found particularly wanting. That's his personal tragedy. But it's a legacy which Noach leaves, which Avraham Avinu is able to pick up with all those generations later. Okay, we'll stop here. And